I haven't watched it in a while.
Okay, we're rolling.
Nolan sauce, sir.
Ready? Nolan sauce. Nolan, that's the name of this episode, Nolan sauce.
That's right there.
Okay.
Nolan's Nolan sauce.
Here it is.
Oh, Unsane Radio? This is Dr. Tarr. I'm filling in the blank.
This is the Midnight Mystic Gadfly.
And this is Dr. Head. And you are experiencing...
Radio.
We're just kind of assuming you are.
Oh, what an appropriate intro to the movie we're going to be talking about in this episode, fellow inmates. We are going to be talking about a 2024 movie. Made in 1924.
It's really hard to pin it down.
Really hard to pin it down. Yes. This is one of those weird movies.
2 years ago or 102.
No, you just don't know.
It is a part-time talkie.
Yes, it is. The movie is called Mr. Hay, and it stars one of my all-time favorite actors, Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
Yes, yay. Crispin Glover. This is the story of
McFly,
a magician, not a real great magician. Doesn't have a real big following. Doesn't seem to be, you know, real popular. And he does a gig, and then he goes to this hotel to spend the night, and he wakes up, tries to leave, and finds out he cannot leave this hotel. Therein, my fellow inmates, lies the entire story. This is one fucked up movie. Very weird, very Kafkaesque. It is written, and this is one of the reasons I believe why this movie is so messed up and so weird and convoluted. It was directed and written by Tallulah Hazekamp-Schwab, who is Norwegian. Doesn't that say everything right there? If you've seen this movie, you know that she's Norwegian. You probably understand this movie. This is really, I like this movie quite a bit. I know that this is, we were talking earlier, and this is one of Dr. Head's more favorite movies that we've watched in recent times.
Propaganda!
But this movie is a very bizarre, it is, like I said, it's Kafkaesque all the way. Filled with strange people, strange going on. You find out that the hotel itself seems to be alive. They tear down paneling and you see muscles and, you know, stuff on the inside.
Constricting
undulations.
There's a bunch of people who live here, and Crispin Glover's character, Mr. K, has to interact with all of them, and there's a suspension of belief because everybody there seems to not really care that they're there. They seem to have to be just kind of there and not questioning how weird and strange this whole thing is. I'll say one more thing, but then I'm going to pass on and see what everybody else has to say about this. There are two characters in this movie that are my favorite characters. It's the twin old ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're great. I think they're very good. I think they're great characters. And Crispin Glover is Crispin Glover. So let me open it up. Gadfly.
The cook, or the thief, the cook, his wife, and her lovers.
Lover.
This is a Peter Greenaway-esque movie, along with a David Lynch. So the bizarreness and the... I don't know, the meandering of the story that also leads into all of the stuff that's the existential angst, the agency, the choice, the idea of choice, the idea of, you know, all these things that are that plague anybody as they get older, especially, you know, is it's marvelously done. It's the I think the aesthetic of this film lends itself to the fact that this is not something new, but it's something prescient. It's something that, you know, that we now want to experience, and that we now have this film and Crispin Glover. I love Crispin Glover, and all the other actors that I don't know in this are fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
they're phenomenal. They're great. So,
yeah,
that's all I.
Yeah,
it's
definitely a cast of unknowns. I think I don't know much about. I didn't do a dive into the movie, so I don't know where it was made. It might have been made in Norway. Hell, I don't know.
I thought it was like a Czech. But anyway, yes, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, but it does.
I think that's a really interesting movie. Go ahead,
Tar.
Crispin Glover with the aesthetic of, like, I don't know. Have you? Norwegian movies, like just European movies and stuff generally lately, you know, like I don't know how to describe that, like a Brazil
type. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, Brazil,
the movie. That is yeah,
you know, kind to of it, you know, yeah. Just
Terry Gilliam,
yeah. You know, being trapped,
yeah, very,
in that,
yes, yeah,
yeah, and just, and then the idea of the whole building being a living organism to begin with.
It's contract.
And yes, and yes, and they're all complacent to stay there anyway, you know.
And that's one of the weird parts order. Because, and he's, yeah, going, and he becomes like a member of what's going on there too.
The liberator.
He tries not, yeah, to, you know, but then, yeah, you see these signs all around, says the liberator. And they start saying, you're not the liberator. You're not a good liberator. And he's going, I'm not the liberator. You know, it's a truly Kafka storyline, you know? But yeah. And the other thing, the sets are just truly, you're talking about practical effects and yes, how, yeah, and how to make something look claustrophobic and just the grittiness of it, you know? And then the weirdness, like he's looking down there and all of a sudden he sees a rabbit down there, you know? I don't know. It's just a very, go ahead.
Motivational growth. I think there's a connection with this and motivational growth, and how they have this kind of pocket universe, this kind of microcosm, you know, that they exist in and that they're trying to get out of. Or
Glorious, yeah, too. I think Glorious did that too, where they're trapped in that restroom.
Yep.
You know, just, or he was trapped in that restroom. Cosmic core.
I know Dr. Head loved this. What does he have to say?
I did. This has been my favorite movie I've ever seen. No, unbeknownst to my fellow inmates, I didn't tell them how much movies like this affects me at a psychologically traumatic level. And as much as I like Kafka, it feels too much like a fever dream to me.
Yeah.
That and one that I can't get out. And I sometimes well, I had to keep on looking at the time, like, okay, this movie will end. This movie will, you know, because it just kept on getting worse and worse. And I could see it visually from the opening shot of the, you know, the foyer, which looks like a relatively clean, although I love the dark green color. I mean, the color, mm-hmm. the green is just so, becomes nauseating. It becomes morose and depressing. You know, along with all the, exactly.
Yes.
And I could see what was going on visually. It just was so horrifying to feel the emotions of that and the injustice of that and everything that Kafka writes. Like watching the trial made me feel the same way.
Right.
Anxious. My anxiety's kicking in. I'm like, oh, fuck, fuck, fuck. You know, it's a nauseating kind of sensation. And that's what I was feeling when I was watching this. I'm like, oh, and I kind of guess it might be because of Mr. K. I'm like, oh, that sounds like, and I don't do any research before watching anything. I'm like, oh, that sounds like Kafka.
Yeah, maybe you should from now on.
Yeah, I think I will. Yeah, because my therapist will not be as happy, but no. No, it just, I has very just honest, just visceral responses, emotions to it. But once I said that and kind of got it out and listening to everything you're saying, I'm agreeing with what all you're saying, all the criticisms and like all the things that were good. I'm like, Crispin Glover is always one of those actors where he's not my favorite actor, but I've liked everything I've seen him in.
Right.
And because wow, he's really good. And I literally love the head cook too. You know, the guy with the beard.
Like
his performance was wonderful, and I agree with you, Gadfly. I do love those twin ladies. They were spectacular.
They reminded me. Feather loves those.
Feather. Yes, I love the twins. They reminded me a little bit of the two sisters from the Andy Griffith Show. The ones who.
I never thought of that.
That kind of vibe. You know, where they almost like answer, finish each other's questions.
So good.
And you also get that a little bit in what's the movie about the guy who wins $20 million and goes to New York and oh shit, what is it, and he puts him on trial for being crazy because he wants to give it away. Oh, what is that? It's a Frank Capra movie.
Oh yeah.
He was in shit. He was in Shane. Oh fuck. Anyway,
Shane
Adeline Ladd.
No, it wasn't Shane. No,
yeah,
okay,
get in my box.
Yeah, private. Anyway, I can't remember, but there's a scene like that where there are two of the twin ladies. They're just like that. So I think it's a nice. That was fun. But there's so much about the film that I found so disturbing, just from the way, the gross way it looked, over time, the decay, and just the random. The first thing when I saw the band get out of the and start marching, I'm like, oh fuck, I know what I'm in for now, because you don't know it's going to be so fucked up, and I'm like, oh Jesus, is this what we're going to do? That's what we did, and this gets worse and worse and worse, and it's like that downward spiral, like you can't get out, with a really fucked up ending. But if you know, like the same visceral response as watching, you know, Harvey Keitel, his performance in Bad Lieutenant. Right. And so those kinds of movies, I mostly try to avoid, only because I know what it does to me, and I know where it lives until I can get it out. And I'm like, no. But I can appreciate the craft, so, and I will cease right there.
But the end, to me, is the most beautiful part, is because he breaks through the membrane, you know, all this weird shit gets him into the void. And everything he hears is whale sirens. Like all you hear is the whale siren in the middle of, you know, the ocean or the void or whatever it is. And then it cuts out.
And well, that you see him. Entity.
Yeah, that's living in the house.
Or that's living house. In it.
He was insane in the membrane.
That's squid-like creature. That
squid-like character. Yeah, when he breaks through to that.
But after that, he's in the void.
After that, yes.
After that, and then he just, all you hear is that kind of whale siren.
Oh, that, yeah.
They're kind of like going toward a beam, like a light.
Right, yeah. You know? And he's just sitting there floating, and he's talking about that. And I think, you know, this is nothing new, but it is done well, you know, in terms of reminding us of the social conformity and the being an individual.
And the absurd.
And, yeah. Yeah, just, and the, and the yeah. absurdity of people conforming to each other. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff that's great. I love the fact that Crispin Glover's outfit changes, you know, like almost every scene, you know, and they even make a part of it like, yeah, well, he'd do this for you if, you know, you lost your suit. We're going to take this off.
Oh, yeah. The party room or wherever they were, the, well, the bunk room or and,
where they're all, they were doing yeah. it in his room for a while.
They were. And then
the, cut him out.
The philosophy of, yeah. You know, the entrance is not always the exit. That's, you know, they kept saying that the entrance is not always
yes.
the exit.
You know? That's who the twin.
Right, yeah.
The twins, that's theirs. I
think one of my favorite
took them, I took the twins as being the girls in The Shining.
Nice.
okay. Well, they did kind of guide him, though.
I'm serious. Yeah. When I saw them, and I went, God, that's, they remind me of them, you know. But what I like is the progression. You know, like you're saying, it's Kafka esque in that a lot of things don't seem to make sense, you know, and that's true. A lot of things really just don't make sense. There's no rhyme or reason because this place is so out of the touch with ordinary reality. But another thing, and this is why Kafka is so brilliant and why Kafka is still being talked about and this type of thing, Crispin Glover represents the forward movement. There is always a forward movement.
Right, right.
And he represents that by the fact that he draws the diagrams. He maps, he attempts to map the place.
Yes.
In order to get out. He was always moving toward that. He had times of frustration and time, you know, when he didn't think he was going to do it, but he always came back to that. And
they called him the Liberator.
And they called him the Liberator.
And he's like, no, I'm not the Liberator. And you're like, yeah, you're
and the Liberator. He was a magician.
Right, right.
He was a magician.
He was, yeah. And he even did a couple of magic
yes.
tricks,
yeah.
which
yes.
I thought was brilliant because he only did those couple. Right. And they weren't, yeah. you know, serious
so
big
he becomes
magic,
like, yeah,
sleight of hand.
Sleight
you know?
Of hand, yeah.
Yeah. And,
but done but, well.
Done well. But as that progression moves, I think that's what drives the whole story to the end. Which I agree. I like the end a lot. I really like the end. And I like that he got to that place where he met the squid-like character, you know, entity, which there's no real talk about that. I mean, there's no,
no it's
explanation
just
what it is, just, why it's there. Is
it, his name is Squiddy.
Is it part of the house? What, you know, by that time,
is it right?
I don't think it really matters. That's not the point. The point is the journey, you know, and how he arrives at his
ultimate health.
Journey.
Yeah. Well,
I like the movie a lot. I really, really enjoyed it. It's one of those. I'm the opposite of Dr. Head. This is the kind of movie I thrive on because it makes me think. You know, I'm getting to the point where, you know, I really want to think about what I'm watching sometimes. And, you know, and I enjoy anything, even if I don't like the movie, if it makes me think, then I'm there, you know, because they're at least trying to do something. And this movie, I think it's got its faults. I think it could have been, it's a little long. I think the pacing is a little off in it, you know. Tar said it. It has kind of a European feel to it, mm-hmm. you know. It does have that feel. And I think, you know, finding out who the director and writer is, you know, it makes yeah. sense. And she hasn't really done a whole lot else.
She only did a couple of movies, and I've not yeah, seen those other. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, if they're like this, I'm like, eh, I don't yeah, know. But yeah. she said this was a 20-year passion project.
Yeah,
because I actually typed in, I Googled, what the fuck is wrong with Tallulah Bash or whatever her name is. I tried right. What the Schwab. Fuck is wrong, Schwab? What the fuck is wrong with Tallulah Schwab? And it came up, boop, boop, and it said, you know, it didn't say that, but it talked about these movies. And
oh, so really?
This was a 20-year passion project for her. And then that just infuriated me. Like, why would you want to make this and make people feel this way? You know, or spend 20 years doing this? What kind of horrible monster are you?
Well,
I know.
I think you're feeling this way because you already understand all this stuff. I think other people, it's about making them, it's making them realize what this shit is, you know, this kind of lack of agency, lack of choice, you know, lack of or the ability, or not the ability, but the state of being the other, you know, not fitting in and stuff. And but as, everybody trying to make you fit in. Everybody's like, you've got friends who are friendly and they love you. They're like,
just, the kitchen staff.
Just do this. And that's the, that is the kitchen staff. Just do this. And the fact that he does not, the magician just does not. He's like, I'm going to gather a bunch of people in my room. They're going to rebel because I have all the food. They stole all the food. They're angry that I had all the food. And I'm like, but you...
And I told
them. But you ate all my food. And then nobody else in. Nobody else gets in. You know. So he himself is like,
Yeah, and a few more come in. He's like, all right, come in. That's with the frustration. I do like in the kitchen scene, we're watching him first get, you know, starting with the eggs. And he's talking with the guy. Like, oh, you know, and he's looking over and like, oh, maybe one day you get to be moved up to be a whisker. And then like within minutes, he gets you know, promoted. And the other guy had been there for such a long time. And he's like, and I'm like, oh, that's very Kafka. Like the feeling of blind, like why, wait a minute, I've been putting in the work, why the fuck am I not getting recognized, you know? And seeing him, but then I also saw, I thought, God, that's really kind of funny. I mean, that's like really fucking black rye wit. And that's what I love so much about it. Like, okay, that part.
And the acting, like you were saying, that, which is key. The acting is really good. Subtle.
It's believable. This is a
almost
believable
all
world.
All the acting is subtle, if you think about it. There's nothing. Like, think of the last movie we just talked about. In the last episode, you know? And then think of this. Subtle. I mean, it's so, you know, night and day. And I appreciate that so much. And it is... And it makes me, I mean, there again, it makes me think, you know, it makes me ponder the big things sometimes, you know, and not even just the big things, but everyday life. That's because that's the beauty of Kafka. It's about everyday life. You know, it's not about any grand scheme of things. It's about what you, how you handle things in your day to day life and the frustration that we all experience, which goes back to my theory about the size of society. We could get into that for a couple hours, but we won't right now. But it's, this movie is just a really good example of I now see you, since you're saying that that's a 20, I see that. I see the love in this, you know, and and the pure joy of saying, I'm going to make something that I really want to make that probably isn't going to be fucking noted or anything, but it's going to be mine. And Crispin Glover read the fucking script and went, that's because that's him.
Because that's him. That's what he's going to do. I will make a connection. Emotionally, this movie feels a lot, and structurally, like Aronofsky's Mother. Have you seen it? With And because that was a one and done for me. Except for the part where she walks out in the beginning, and I can watch that over and over again. But
it's a great movie.
Yeah, but that. That was so fucking horrifying for me because of the Kafka-esque nightmare, inescapable nightmare, and the spiral, and where they went. Like, oh my God, they're fucking eating the baby. Jesus Christ. I that I never thought I would see, like, on a mainstream film. I'm like, that's fucking snuff. That's like, we're going to shut your studio down, kind of like taboo.
Aronofsky
shit.
Pushes it, man. He's
and I was just horrified. I'm like,
Requiem
for a Dream.
Requiem for a Dream is also so fucking disturbing.
It fucking wrecks me every time I've seen it, and I haven't seen it for 20 years. I mean, the last time I saw it was with a girlfriend, and we both watched it, and we were just in fucking tears. We're just like, oh my God, that's horrifying.
That's brilliant. A difficult movie.
It's
well done, but the emotional toll. But for me, those kinds of movies are like one and done. That's why I don't watch Game of Thrones again. Like, it's a one and done for me. It's like, you know, it's to me, it's like, no, it takes too much out of me. And I don't have that much left in me. I want to keep it intact.
Requiem with a Dream.
For a Dream.
For a Dream. The Ellen Burstyn parts.
Yes.
Are brilliant filmmaking. Like the fact that she goes on like meth and then they film this thing of her doing all this stuff, and I'm like going, that's Aronofsky. Aronofsky.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen Noah is fucking brilliant. I'm serious.
Really?
If you have not seen it,
with what's his face? Who's playing Noah?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Really?
I fucking love it because
I haven't seen it.
It takes it into like this like fantasy science fiction realm, and it's great. Like it's got all the special effects. Yeah, I thought it was great.
I mean, this is like the Genesis story, Noah, right? Like the Gilgamesh story, Noah, right?
I don't know any of those stories anymore. I can't. The last time I
is it about the flood and getting a boat full of animals?
There is, but there's also this. Yeah, there's all kinds of other stuff.
I don't so they're not making a Bible movie. They're just saying, hey, let's have this fun story because there's like 1,000 flood myths. So
right.
Yeah,
I would watch it because I haven't seen it for a while, but I remember being really impressed with it. But I'm always impressed with Aronofsky. Like he does, even when I don't like his movie.
Yeah,
I'm like
yes.
I'm impressed by the fact that he did this. What's the one?
Yeah, they're done well.
What's the one that he did with Wolverine? The guy who played Wolverine. The Fountain.
Oh,
The Fountain.
Oh yeah, The Fountain.
Oh, that's okay. A fucking crazy movie. Every time I watch it, I don't know what to think of it. I don't know if it or I don't like it. You know what I mean? Like
that's a weird movie.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, but I love it for that fact. I've watched it probably a half a dozen times, and I never walk out of that movie knowing what the fuck to think about it. You know what I mean? Like I'm not gonna be like I hate it. I'm not gonna be like I like it. I'm just gonna be like, what the fuck? You know.
Yeah. What's his first movie?
Pi.
One of the most brilliant science fiction movies ever made.
It's good.
And made for $80,000.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
I mean, come on. As soon as I watched that movie, as soon as I finished that movie, I said,
"Yep,
anything this guy does, I'm gonna be right there." And then I'm just so tickled that he's made it. You know, he's in his own right. You know, and a filmmaker. And considered by the filmmaking community to be one of the top. You know, right up there with the Coen brothers.
Yeah,
I like seeing people with vision.
Yep.
Do and succeed and do well. You know, and. Yeah, that's nice because because when you want the Coens, you want it to feel like a Coen brother. I mean, they have a distinct feel to their movies and a distinct feel to their comedies and pacing that they've honed and crafted. That's good. Yeah,
good directors usually get a voice and stay perfect. Yeah. But anyway, in this, so back to Mr. K. If you haven't seen it, it's on Prime right now as of this. Taping recording.
Yep.
But check it out. And if you know, it's not for everybody, I'll have to admit, but if you want your brain to stretch a little bit, you know, check it out. And it's not really gory either. You know, it has that kind of slimy feel, but there's no real gore. So it's not like it's not a horror movie necessarily. It is a horror movie, but
it is horror.
It's a psychological horror movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anybody have anything else to say? I mean,
Hashtag emotional scar.
I really say, I recommend you watch it.
Yeah, I would say that you could also go back to the 90s where we had a lot of great independent films like Peter Greenaway, anything the 8 Ball and
Boneyard.
No, let's not go to Boneyard. But the thief, his cook. Or the thief, the cook, his wife, and his lover. If you've not seen that, is great.
His lover is
a lot of his stuff. A lot of his Peter Greenway's stuff is great. It's unusual. Like
it's unusual, and it makes you think.
Yeah,
yes.
I remember watching that one. Yeah, it was kind of fucked up. That's those movies were out, and you got to see a lot of that because of the VHS.
That's true. Yeah. During the
VHS. Thanks, Sue.
Yeah.
That really. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think the 90s were amazing for their independent films.
There was a big renaissance in the
90s. Which brings me to one of the next episodes, which is my pick, is going to be Breakfast of Champions on Prime.
It's on Prime.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
If you haven't seen it, it's great. And if you watch the movie, please read the book.
Try to read the book.
If you honestly, if you haven't read any of the other books, the book is still really good. good, because that's how I read it. I read Breakfast of Champions, and then I went back and read, you know, Elliot Rosewater and, you know, all the other stuff.
His other
stuff. And then I went back and read Breakfast of Champions, and I thought, oh.
Breakfast of Champions is great.
Yep.
Yes, yes. Yep. Terrific. Yeah.
So that's,
and the movie is good. The movie is okay. We'll talk about it. Yeah, because
I just watched it, and I was so, I'm like, yeah. Scott Rudin, I think, is the guy that directed it. So
I'm curious as to how they're going to visualize this stuff. That's what's going to be fun.
Well, it's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It,
and, I'm, you know, I'm excited.
You know me. I'm hard on on, you know, versions, novelized, you know, scripted versions of a novel.
Yeah.
But you have to also think it's an attitude.
Yeah.
Not literal. It's an attitude. And if you go into it looking at the movie from that perspective, I mean, he has all the things from the, but the way he puts them all together, it's not the way I would have put it together, but it works. You know? It's kind of like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he gets it.
Okay.
It's the director gets it.
The director gets it.
Yes. Okay. And Bruce Willis, fucking phenomenal. You know,
everybody is.
Omar Epps, absolutely everybody. Yeah,
Albert Finch.
Yeah. Albert Finch.
Yeah, great.
Albert Finney, his name?
Yeah, he's Kilgertrout.
Albert Finney, who's Peter Finch. Albert Finney.
Albert Finney.
Yeah, he plays
Kilgertrout,
Wolfen.
Well, and one of the, for me, one of the great performances is, what's his name?
Bunny.
Bunny's great, but no, who plays the guy who's the crossdresser?
Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte is phenomenal in that movie. It's so good.
Yeah, everybody's good. But anyway, we'll talk about it.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's going to be one of my next ones. So
okay, looking forward to it.
And you have a pick, Dr. Head.
Oh.
So you don't have to.
Hey,
you don't have to.
Let's go back and redo that horror comics that when we got.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, we should.
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, because that episode got.
Totally, right, we didn't get it all deleted.
Got totally lost somehow.
Yeah. Gadfly's comments came in, so there you go.
And they were
just trying to recreate that.
We'll just comment on top of those.
Well, no, because a lot of my comments, there was not many. It was a lot of silence. I'm listening to this. I'm going, what the?
Too bad, because that was a good episode.
It was. No, it really was.
I enjoyed that episode a lot. Yeah. Well, we can do it again.
All right. That'll be my pick.
Okay. All right. So Breakfast of Champions on Prime, and then Horror comics.
That's going to be great. Look forward to
I'm watching the Sandy Hook conspiracy file tapes.
Oh yeah.
I haven't seen this.
That's like good because we need to make this episode longer than the last one, and it's not right now.
What's that?
Well,
we
spent this episode talking about the movie.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
It's wild. Quantity and quality.
Yeah, yes.
We're at 32.50, almost 33.
Sounds good.
That's good. Tight 33.
I can live with that.
Tight 33.
33.
It was a squeaker.
Yeah.
I guess we had to get out of here, though, right?
Yeah. I
guess. Jerry's looking.
Come on. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty high, but I think we still have to like have the music and get out of here and say our things. Are entertaining our inmates, friends.
I got it.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Always.
You got that transition right. Listening to
UnsaneRadio.com. Tar Flame Feathers Psychos
Cinema
on YouTube. New episode.
Loading out there.
Heavy metal horror podcast. Facebook. Heavy metal horror podcast on the YouTubes. Montag Lewis, one word, on the Instagrams. And that's it. And We Freaks, WEEFREEKZ, a family friendly webcomic on Facebook, written and drawn by our
what if I had my YouTubes tied?
Blue Fez would approve. No more Dr. Tars. Here, you're tar tied then.
Steak tartar.
I want to give a shout out to the Bone Jangler.
Boneyard.
Also to Grim Gory of the Mummy.
Grim Gory.
And the evil Dr. Joe.
Evil Dr. Joe.
Ribbit. Ribbit.
All great guys. They are in our Fruit of the Doom underwear commercial, which is being presented episode called The Mysterious Island. Check it out on our YouTube channel that is not tied up yet.
Car tied, including that sexy voice.
With all the views.
Fruit of the Doom, what's that?
And the Midnight Gadfly will be starring at the Fantasy in Cleveland in his new band called Government Cheese. Stand in Line.
That's the name of the album, Stand in Line. You're promoting the new album, right?
Right. Stand in Line.
You can find it on Bandcamp.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah.
Bandcamp.